kind of a little more than a year, you know, more plentiful. And she said to my mother, Jenny, she said, there must be a funeral. And my mother says, why? Well, she says, look at all the cars going by. And my father says, no, there's no funeral. We're just that the cars were going by. But she thought it was a funeral.
My grandmother, this woman, she was awfully good-hearted. And that was in the days when there was a surplus of tramps around, you know. And she never turned one down. And they always came to her house, and she would give them something, especially a cup of coffee beans or ground coffee. She had the old grinder, and she'd grind it, and then she'd put them in a little sack for them and let them have their little cup of coffee wherever they wanted. And we were remarking one day that they must have this place marked because they never miss it.
Yeah,
so
do.
The boys went out and looked, and sure enough, in the tree, they found the mark.
Well, what kind of a mark was it?
Well, they had a cross.
But you never could find that mark.
No, you never could. They had some way of
my mother said too.
Putting that, but the boys scoured around. They said
you mean that they marked it with a pencil or something?
I don't know. But
I think they kind of carved it in.
See, most of them had fences, the wooden fences. My mother said you could not find that mark.
Yeah.
You know, but it was there for everybody else.
That was their signal that you could get food there. Or if it had, they had the signal that there was a dog around, but you could keep it going. And they had their
isn't that interesting?
Sign language between themselves. But she never turned a person down. She always said no. And the same way at home, I figured you could come in with 1 or 10, sit down, and she'd have food enough to feed them. And it didn't bother her in the least.
My aunt is down here too. If anybody came in, like the, you know, the tramps, she'd ask them in. And she did, she'd set them down and give them a lunch. And then she would ask them all about their history.
Oh, gosh.
That's what
never was afraid of them.
That's what my husband would do. He'd come to him, he was in business. And anybody come along, then over to me, I was supposed to beat him. And I didn't like it. I was afraid of him.
Oh.
Just anybody you know.
No, there wasn't anybody you knew with that bunch, especially. But
so did you feed them, Alice?
Oh, yes, I always fed them. But I didn't leave them in the house. They sat on the porch or someplace like that.
No, Grandma never let them in the house. They sat on the porch.
And I'd give them a plate out there, or else I'd fix a little box with lunch and send them with that.
Well, when was that? When did they come?
Well, the last time I remember was in the 20s. It was still
Depression. Well, it was before the Depression.
That's
about
when I remember it, too. I remember about that time, too.
We should talk about the Depression sometime, shouldn't we? Or do you want to?
Well, we're old enough to remember it. Although, I don't know, we didn't seem to go through the foot. We weren't hit as bad as
Got a new battery? I say that's bad. First, feeding the baby. Down all undressed.
Oh. I don't know. Well, we're talking about grandparents.
What
can
I do without my? This one here is the only one I can hear with anymore. The other one is too ain't loud enough for me. Where are you?
Well, we're still talking about grandparents. We're going to add some to what we had last time. So they were all talking about how their grandmothers used to feed tramps that were coming through.
Still talking about Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did you ever see any tramps that came through?
Any what?
Tramps.
Hobos.
Hobos.
Hobos. Say, hobos used to come to our house. Are you talking about tramps?
Yeah.
Well, hobos used to come. We lived down out here southeast by the track. I don't know if there was hobos, but I think there were. They used to come over and want eggs to our place. And I'd give them a couple to one. And they went down by the track there and they cooked. Then another one come down and they were so wanting some eggs. So I said, well, I guess I better put a stop to that. I want to have an egg. And one fellow wanted to come to our place. Kind of wanted a cup of coffee and all that. We didn't have the coffee. He was too late for coffee. We gave him a glass of milk. Thought that would help. And a piece of bread. And when we got down, he didn't come in. He sat out by the steps on the back porch. And when he left, we went out to look. And he ate his bread, but off and left the milk. He didn't want it. He wanted a cup of coffee. I suppose he went somewhere else, probably.
Maybe he gave the grandma some coffee.
We'd had the coffee and got over with it and cleaned ourselves. I ain't going to make him a new cup of coffee. And so he didn't like it. He wanted a cup of coffee. He went and left the milk, but he took the bread with him. Or ate it there. I don't know.
They were talking about that they thought the hobos would mark their house somehow so that they could, the next one would come by.
Yeah, if you feed them, I think they did, probably.
But you never could find that sign.
No.
But the hardest thing we used to have was those gypsies.
Oh, yes.
The gypsies used to go around while the ladies was out, or while there was, the men and the ladies, they was running around, they used to go right out in the hen house and get the eggs out.
The men used to go out when you were looking to dig out potatoes,
take them and go off. And when we'd see a band of gypsies, I was up next to the neighbors one day. They didn't have any children, but they was kind of made a lot of me, little. And I used to kind of go up there, and I said to the mother, I'm going up to that place, not far. I looked down the road, and here come a big band of gypsies, just tearing down the road. And I said, oh. I give a run and a ran for home. I said to my mom, she was afraid of them. I says, here come the band of gypsies, like that. But you see, we were really afraid. They come around there a while, and then, and there's those men gone out in the field or something. And they used to read it.
I there were always fortune tellers with them.
Palm readers.
They'd want to read your palm.
Were they were from Europe, I suppose.
Yes, I think most of them were Hungarians.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get your palm read?
Mom didn't allow me anywhere near. But there in Mankato, they had from city to city that they were coming. So they usually met them and then they escorted them to the other side.
Oh, okay,
down.
The police, you mean? Mm-hmm.
Did you ever read that book of Norma? Wasn't it Norma Zimmer that had that book about the gypsies when her father was found in her? It's a great book, and she wrote. She was in with Welch's out. Mm-hmm. Lawrence Welch's.
She was a singer.
Norma Zimmer. And her dad was. She told about her dad in that, and about the gypsies, how they come.
Hmm.
And telling fortunes.
They were very bold. You couldn't scare them away. Nothing's. I think they knew it. People were frightened of them, and they took advantage of it. And they just really made a nuisance of themselves when they were around.
Did they ask for things then?
Oh, yes.
They searched the house.
What they didn't get, they helped themselves.
Yeah, they searched the house.
They were thieves, just thieves. Mm. That's all they were.
Just all through the country.
So people never locked their doors then, huh?
That's a trouble. And they were as bold as you could imagine.
Hmm.
Nothing frightened them. And they were all dressed in their gay colored dresses.
Yes, they were.
What did they look like?
Oh.
Scare the life out of you.
They were robed a duck.
Yes, they were dark, dark skin, very
and
dark
And they wore
skin.
Bright colored clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All fancy, colors and all.
But the funny thing, the worst of it was every year, like you said, there was some Armenians, they called them, and they used to go through the country selling some of their laces, fancy laces and things. And when you tell them to get to the same place every year, they come to our place just at dinner time.
Oh,
that was their
and then
head.
My mother,
they
she
were from Antigua.
My mother, she was so
There's
good and kind, she'd
there.
Always get dinner for them. And they knew it. Every time they come to our place. Ma had, my mother had her dinner for her. And they had pretty lace. Fancy, oh, beautiful lace. We never bought it, but she used to, every time, it wasn't too fancy, but for their dinner, they gave us a piece, a little doily or some kind of a lace, piece of lace. I kept that for years and years.
That was
I
mean, nice.
They still, there's a bunch of them in Mankato. The Abdo family is one of the originals over there.
Abdo?
Abdo. Mm-hmm. But Mrs. Abdo used to come around and she had a little tray, like she spoke on a strap around her neck. And she'd have old threads and needles and pins and things like that. And she came every year, and of course we began to know her. But when Mom would go to the door, she'd stand there. Please, lady, will you buy something from me? I'm a poor lady. And that was her song every year. So Mama would probably buy some spools of thread or something like that. She could have gone over town and got them cheaper. But
yeah.
They were a great family.
Yeah.
When I was a girl, they'd come to always down my mother's street, the gypsies. That's 3rd Avenue now, the Northeast. Well, the kids way up the other end, they come running down to tell us all about at that end the gypsies were coming. Because we heard that they steal kids.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, I came in the house, I went upstairs, and I got in the bedroom. They weren't going to steal me.
That was the thing that was around. They'll steal children. I don't know where it got started. Somebody must have been bad, and they were warned that they'd be stolen by the gypsies. I know when we heard there was a band of gypsies coming, like you said, we all scooted
for all
that. Yeah.
Well, that's the funniest thing. They came with
wagons. They came in wagons.
Came with wagons and horses. And a few years after that, they came with cars.
Yes, they were all musical.
They came with cars. Beautiful cars.
Oh, cars. I thought you said guitars. They were musical, though. But they played musical instruments.
He looked just awful. His hair down was just all broken out bad. And after he'd gone, we found he had the leprosy.
Oh, dear.
He was around begging. Come to our place. I know how he hailed into the country, but he got there. And that was, of course, when I was a little girl, I could just see him. I said, Ma, I'll give him something. She didn't care. She didn't think she would, you know. But I said, Ma, I'll give him something. He was so bad.
Oh, that's
just funny. All broke out. And afterwards, we found he'd had the leprosy. How he got there, way over the Wells, I can't say. But he drifted in, you know, and was around begging.
That's really sad.
They always camped out down by the lake. I see where it was about. Well, they had to go around the lake, and it was an open space there, and that's where they camped by the lake.
Did you ever see him dance or play instruments? Or?
Oh, yes. They had their little.
I never.
They'd, wherever there was an empty space, they'd, like the old settlers used to do, they used to go in a circle and. They'd have their little bonfires and then they'd sing around there,
play
and dance.
I remember that too.
I never got that close to it. I never went out there.
She was up in the bedroom hiding. Were they good? Did they play nice music? And
their music, you know, for the kind of music they have. But, it's fast music.
Violins.
It's lively, it's lively.
And the girls would dance, I suppose.
Yeah, they'd dance and they'd hoop and holler and clap, you know, they'd make a lot of noise. And they enjoyed their life.
The kids never went to school, did they?
No.
They never settled any place so the kids could.
No, they never settled down. I don't know where they came from or where they went.
And then when the gypsies used to come to the fairs, the farmers, they would kind of watch out, because they would come and they'd even steal horses if they could get a hold of them.
Yeah, that's true. They could. Uh-huh. They would. They were thieves. That's all there was to it. You couldn't trust them out of your sight. And they vanished with the rest of the vanishing of beacons.
And their wagons were always fixed up so, you know,
all decorated,
so pretty and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were wooden wagons.
Yeah, they were wooden wagons.
Were they painted?
Like, they were like the old medicine wagons. They looked like that.
Did they have designs on them, or?
They had them all fixed up real fancy. And as I say, their costumes were beautiful. Just beautiful, colorful. Hmm. They had great big whole skirts, you know, and pretty blouses.
Hmm.
Was that the gypsies?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the gypsies yet? Well, they were hard ones.
Well, everybody was afraid of them.
They really was. Everybody was scared. Yeah, they generally would come into a town and they were let out to go out of that town.
If you didn't dare open the door, let them in, they'd go through the whole house.
They sure would. And while you were talking to them at the front door, somebody was coming in the back door. They were the sneakiest things that you could.
Oh, my gosh.
They were terrible. So when anyone was afraid of them, they had a right to be.
Well, they turned loose on my garden.
They got into your garden?
Yeah, they were ripped that garden out of it.
What did they do?
Oh, they gathered up all they could out of it, you know.
Helped themselves.
Yes.
Well, they helped themselves, all right.
Yeah, they were hard on my garden, that I know.
And where were you then? In Dakota?
We'll have to think a bit. But where were we? No, we were in Iowa. That was a good many years ago. Of course, in Minnesota, we lived in up there. Do you know where Pillager is in Minnesota?
Where?
Pillager.
Pillager. That's in the
north or west, isn't it? It's up there near Brainerd.
Yeah.
Brainerd area.
Right where Brainerd is, yes.
Yeah, Pillager, where we were.
And do you think the gypsies were gone after the 20s, or were they still here in the 30s?
Oh, no, I think it was around the 20s that they were gone. That ended them. I don't know where they went, but they went into the woodwork someplace, and were never seen again. Yeah. And they had money.
They just seemed like, well, then I think that mostly they went to fairs. Because there always was gypsies at the fair.
You always heard about it. When I first came here, it was in the 50s, people would say, be careful during fair time when you hang your clothes on the line, because you may not have anything when you go back out. So.
Yeah, they surely helped themselves to anything they wanted.
They go clear through the house.
And when you're over to the fair, they'll come out, you know, have your fortune told, have your fortune told. And I know I was a young girl, another girl was over there. And they came right up to us, we got scared, we started running. I says, I wouldn't go in that tent for $1 million to have my fortune told.
I had my fortune told once. Did anybody else ever have their palm read? Did you, Alice?
No. My husband did. Old Tipton, they had some there at Iowa. And there was one there. They had a little tent there. Charlie was in. Come on, but he didn't stay long. I don't know what they did to him. He got out of there in a hurry.
Did your fortune turn out the way she said?
No, I don't remember. Some girls, friends of mine and I, we lived in Minneapolis, so we got all dressed up and we went down to this tea room on Nicollet Avenue for lunch one time. We were about 17 years old, I suppose. We thought we'd just really celebrate, and on a Saturday noon. So we took the bus downtown and went in there, and then we had our lunch, and then this lady was around reading palms. So she read my palm, and all she said was, you should either be in church work or music. And that's all, I mean, I'm sure she told me lots of other things about my lifeline and all that business, which I absolutely don't remember.
When you said that, it made me think, the place you went to eat, did you go up some steps, quite a few steps to go in?
I think so, yeah. And I can't, do you remember the name of it?
No, I can't. I was trying to think, because we were in there one time, some of us. And there was Margaret Barden and Mary Thornby and Eloise Lamoth, if you remember them, and I. And Eloise had been there. She knew about her. And she said, let's go and have our comrades. So the four of us went in there. But the place was crowded, and she was giving a reading, and so we didn't want to sit around and wait, so we didn't get our palms wet.
It was something Tea Room. Tea Room was the last part of it, but I do not
remember
the name of it. It was fun. We had tea. We had to drink. Oh, I think she read tea leaves, too.
She did read
tea leaves. I think one of the girls had their tea leaves read.
Oh, my mother used to do that. I had a lady one time, I don't remember if it's long ago, if it's here at the fair or somewhere, and she told me a little bit, the palm, this was a lifeline, and this was some here, and she told me I was going to have an old life. I guess she's right.
Yeah. Could she tell you anything else?
But it's old enough, I think. But she said that.
Huh. Who read Tea Leaves, Alice? Your mother?
My mother.
How did she do it?
Well, the leaves were dry. They were dry on the saucer from the tea.
Oh, you just dump them out?
Yeah, she read those.
So you drank your tea, and then you dumped your tea leaves out on the saucer. And
sometimes the tea leaves, after you drank your tea, would hang out to the inside of the cup. And my grandmother, she used to read the...
I've seen it down
there. So if they hung on, then she could tell
something? Yeah, if it hung around on the top around the lid, and she'd look, and she says, you're going to have company, because there's the company coming out.
Yeah. Was it true?
I don't remember it. But she used to read those when we'd have, because we always had tea at home.
Yeah. Isn't it funny they never strained it?
No, it was always tea leaves that we
had. Just the tea and the tea. And we were tea drinkers, it was my job to scrub out the teapot because they got stained.
Yeah, I always drank tea at home, too.
My great-grandmother used to always make tea every day.
We didn't have the instant tea like we do now.
We lived at Pillager back in those early days, and I often wonder if that town is still, it was just a small place, few houses. My aunt lived there, and there was a schoolhouse, and a dinky church. The minister come in once a month or something like that, and the school was, teacher came from on a freight train now to teach the school.
And we always had, a coffee for breakfast, but their other two meals was always tea.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the old English way or not, going from New
York.
We did
it home, too. We did it home. Grandma Skinner was English.
My dad was the one that drank the tea, and when Mom married him, she went to the tea, too, so I was brought up on tea.
I like tea.
I'll show you how brilliant I was. When I was little, Dad was trying to teach me to spell, and we were at the dinner table, and I was in my high chair. He wanted me to spell cat, so I got to C-A, and then he pointed to the cup, to get the tea. I said coffee. I never lived it down that I spelled cat C-A coffee.
I don't want to interfere with what they're saying, but I was thinking, and I don't think it's all right to write about it, but we lived out where the big tornado hit. It don't have to be here, there's just a little.
Okay.
We lived out for the big tornado, but we were gone. But what I was thinking of was this. I keep thinking, because this isn't Clear Lake, but it was over by Clear Lake. We lived up over by where the big tornado come up.
And what I was thinking about was these people had two big hound dogs, you know. They take them out, and they take the dogs out, and then they chase things, rabbits and things, I guess, or something. I had some chickens. We always bought little chickens, and I had a nice, lot of little, they were over half-grown chickens, white leghorn chickens, out in the place. I guess it was out where they could get at them in a way. And these two dogs, probably female or male, I presume, that had the fence so high, you'd never think anything would fly over, go over it, and I don't think they did. And the name was Fosters, Bill Fosters. He used to play in the ball game.
I knew him, yeah.
And Bill Fosters and her, and she saw it. And they jumped that fence. You couldn't imagine a dog, those two dogs. They came over to my place on the run. They grabbed each one a chicken, one in each mouth. They run up the hill and I after them.
As tight as
I could go. I thought they'd drop them, you know, if I'd run after them. And what do you suppose? They took them along together, two, one after the other. And one took one, and one the other, and they began to chew. They was living. They started chewing them chickens, chew them up. And I after them because I thought they'd drop
they
the
were
chicken.
Fostered,
I they thought
were
by me coming, awful. I thought by me coming and running, they'd drop them. They didn't. And by the time they got up, there was no chickens left. They took the whole chicken.
Oh.
She saw it, Mrs. Foster. And she said she was sorry and they'd pay for it, you know. I said, no, not now, but if they come over here again, I says they'll pay for every chicken that they take them out. They were, why, I had them so grown, they were so hard to raise those chickens. But I was so kind of put out, but it didn't have to be there. I was just kind of telling them about that chicken.